2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you have a Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Wow, praise the Lord for the praise team, huh? Thank the Lord for those guys. Yeah, absolutely. They're great. We appreciate that. Aren't you glad that it's finished? Aren't you glad that our sin debt is paid in full because of Jesus? And we're so thankful for that. Giving is worship. And we've spent the last couple weeks really looking at this and examining this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We're going to examine that, and the question I'm going to ask you this morning is simple. Are you a generous person? Are you a generous person? Now, the thought might be, as I'm asking that question, is for you to immediately say, of course I'm a generous person. Naturally, I'm a generous person. However, it might be interesting to hear what other people had to say about you. Because what we do is we tend to see ourselves through rose-petaled glasses. We tend to see ourselves in higher light than we might really are at some point. So we're going to examine this morning. We're going to look at and we're going to ask the question, am I a generous person? Are you a generous person? And then hopefully by the time we're finished here this morning, you might have a handle on this. And my hope is that God's working in your life. My hope and prayer is that your heart is open to receive what God has for you. How many of you remember when you were younger? And for some, you are young, but for those of us that aren't, but you can go back and you can remember friends, especially like in high school and junior high. You know what I'm talking about? Did a lot of you travel in herds? You had a herd of friends you hang around with? You had a group of friends? I heard that what I'm going to share with you here is not originally mine. I heard Pastor Wayne share this with the teens, but it tickled me to no end. And so I want to cover a couple friends that as you're going through, as you go through life, you have these friends in the group with you. The first friend is the rich friend. You want to talk about the rich friend? That's the guy that always has money. And when you're in the group with him, you always know he's going to have money and he's always going to buy. That's the rich friend. Anybody here the rich friend? Yeah, nobody's right. One, right? This next friend is really interesting. This next friend is the I'm down friend. The I'm down friend. And what that in simple language means is that someone has an idea and he goes, I'm down, I'm in. And it didn't matter what it was, it didn't matter how stupid it was. And I know some of you are the down friend. You're like, hey, let's go do. And it started with, hey, here's a great idea. And it wasn't a great idea, it was a stupid idea. But you're the I'm down friend. And oh yeah, let's run and do that, right? So the I'm down friend. I know some of you by personality. This is you. You're the responsible friend. You're the voice of reason. You're the one going, I don't think we should do this. This just doesn't sound good. My wife is the responsible friend. She was always saying, and we're like, come on, it'll be fun. There's death involved. I don't know. The funny friend. Maybe some of you are this, maybe you know somebody like this. This is the friend that they, whether they were trying to be funny or not, they just made you laugh. I got kicked out of a courtroom because of a funny friend of mine. We were in court, like in a legit, you know, all rise, raise your right hand, and I was in seventh grade. Now, in seventh grade, everything's funny, so bear with me on this one, but this friend of mine, and he was just being stupid, but he was so stupid funny, and he was just mocking everything. It was mocking, you know, the we're supposed to be observing court or something, and he was just, and I'm like, and I couldn't stop, and I got warned once, warned twice, bam, all right, bailiff, escort that young man out, and I was laughing on the way out. I just couldn't stop laughing. Funny friend. Then there's the low maintenance friend. Now, some of you would also, this would be, you're the drama friend. You're the drama friend, but a low maintenance friend, that's that friend that's just there. They're loyal, they're great, and they enjoy hanging around, and they're not high maintenance. They're low maintenance. This one, I won't call any names, but some of you absolutely are the instigator friend. I'll give you some initials. Duncan Monteith, you're the instigator friend. The instigator, you are the one that is going, ooh, this will be fun. And the I'm down friend says, I'm in. But then you know what the instigator friend does? He backs away and goes, uh-huh. And then he enjoys watching it all happen. The instigator friend will do that with friends and with brothers and with family. That's the instigator friend, right? Then here's another one, the know-it-all friend. The know-it-all friend, no matter what subject it is, you know, that they have an answer for everything because they know everything. Another friend is the competitive friend. This is the friend that, you're going out just to play miniature golf, but no, this is the Masters tournament for them, and they're going to win no matter what. You ever have a friend like this? This is the friend that you have a story, but no matter what story you tell, their story is always better than your story. You know what I'm talking about? That friend, that person. Here's a good one. The moocher friend. The moocher friend. You know what I'm talking? This is the friend that never has any money, that is always there. They always have a handout, and they never seem, when you go out to eat, they never seem, I forgot my wallet, or hey man, can you get me this time? I'll get you next time. And you know that you've gotten them for the last 72 times, so why break precedent? That's the moocher friend. That friend is a very interesting friend because that type of personality, they actually grow up into adulthood with still that kind of mind and mentality. Take a look here on the video screens and see if you don't recognize the moocher friend here, okay?
Thank you for dining with us.
Hope to see you again.
Thank you.
Oh, I got this.
Just gotta reach the check.
Almost there.
I can't reach it.
If you have alligator arms, you avoid picking up the check.
What?
That's what you do.
I got this.
Thanks, Dennis.
If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch to Geico.
Ow.
It's what you do.
Ow, that is good crispy duck.
Moocher friend. This is the guy, this is the man or woman, whoever, they have a hard time reaching for that check. Their wallet hasn't seen daylight in years. And, you know, we tease a little bit about it, we laugh about that, but actually, as I looked up the definition for cheapskate, a nasty person, a miserly or stingy person, especially one who tries to avoid paying fair share of costs or expenses, a small-minded person, a miser, a skinflint. You know, we tease about all those friends, but in particular, that moocher friend, if you're not careful, they could grow up into the actual cheapskate. And I ask you the question, as I said, are you a generous person? A cheapskate, based on just pure definition, is someone that avoids paying fair share and costs. A nasty person, a stingy person, a miser, a skinflint, a small-minded person. Two types of people in the world. Givers, takers. Real simple. Givers and takers. A taker would be a cheapskate. A taker is somebody that has a handout. A taker is somebody that's looking to take advantage. A taker is somebody that is not ever or rarely ever going to ever pick up the check or in any way, shape, form, give. And if a cheapskate person does give, it's on their terms, it's when they want to give, and it's to their benefit. A giver or a generous person, and those terms are synonymous, used interchangeably, has a whole different mindset. In fact, they think completely, completely different. A giver is somebody that has this passion and heart that it comes to them almost in a natural way. Okay? And we'll talk about that. But the idea here is to be careful that we don't mistake what between what generosity is and is not. Generosity is not being foolish or irresponsible with your money or your time or your possessions. Make sure you're clear about that. Generosity is not being foolish or irresponsible with your money, your time, or your possessions. Generosity is not spoiling your children. My daughter's been asking for a pony since she was one and haven't bought her a pony yet. Generosity is not being self-indulgent, generous to yourself and only to yourself. Generosity is not hoarding your money or your possessions. Generosity is not using terms like frugal or careful to describe your problem with a lack of giving. I know a man, his siblings approached him and they said, hey, it's our parents' 50th anniversary is coming up in about 2 or 3 years. We'd each of us like to contribute an equal amount of share to cover the cost. We want to make sure that mom and dad, their anniversary is their 50th. It's a really nice one. And this was the sibling's reply. I don't have the money. But his siblings noticed that in that period between when they asked him to help and he declined, and the 50th, he had time to buy at least one new car, possibly two. He had time to take two or three family vacations, at least two personal golf trips that were, out of state and all that kind of stuff. It's very interesting that we will use terms like that. I'm just careful with my money. I'm frugal with my money. A generous person is not somebody that hoards. How many of you have seen that show, Hoarders? Isn't that something? You've gotten to a whole different level with that, but even before you get to that level, there's this idea of we have a tendency to want to do this. It's mine, and it's my stuff. And I want to hoard it. I want to keep it all to myself. The word generous, by definition, this is really interesting on this. It's showing a readiness to give more of your time, money, possessions than is necessary or expected. Liberal in giving, free from small-mindedness. That's a powerful thought, folks. Showing a readiness to give more than our time, money, and possessions than is necessary or expected. Liberal in terms of how we give, free from being small-minded. How do we go to that? How do we get to a point of becoming generous? That's the question we have to ask. Am I a generous person? And if not, how do I get there? Those are all fair questions. Some words that describe generous, and these are interesting words as I looked all this stuff up. Magnanimous, benevolent, charitable, noble, big-hearted, honorable, thankful, thoughtful, considerate, kind. Those words, when it comes to descriptors, would be applicable to a generous person. What does a generous person look like? Just a couple thoughts. Number one, a generous person has passion. A generous person has passion. Matthew 22, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Look, if you don't have a passion for Jesus Christ this morning, if you don't love God and that being your priority, and let me say this to you nicely, but let me say it to you honestly, then you cannot be a generous person. Now listen, you could be generous at times, but you cannot be a generous person and not have the vertical relationship right. To have a passion for God. Listen, a passion for God radically changes all those who have that. Let me ask you, I'm not asking, do you know about Jesus this morning, but do you know him personally? If you know Jesus as your Savior this morning, He's your Lord, then get this, folks. He died and paid our sin debt so that when we leave this body, we'll spend an eternity with Him. One. But number two, in the here and now, that God is working in our life. My passion for God and His love for me moves me to be generous. Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? The transformation that takes place inside you and me from the time we accept Christ and throughout our lives as we grow is something that happens. It's radical. It pushes me, it should push all of us to see things differently. To see things differently. When you have a passion for God, you'll see people differently. People won't become burdensome or bothersome to you. Your heart will reach out to them and realize it and desperately know that God loves that person, even if they're a jerk. Even if they're selfish, even if they're mean, even if they're disrespectful. God loves them, and because of your love for Him and God's love for you, you see people differently. And what happens is that your heart begins to change. Literally, this is what happens. You begin to let go and realize that all that is in your care, your possessions, money, your time, all of that is really meaningless in light of eternity. I've watched a number of people in 26 years of ministry. I've watched a number of people die. I've been at their bedsides. And I've watched, and you have either experienced this or you know of something like this. After the person passes away, and there's the initial grief, but after that, they get through the funeral service, then what happens? What happens? They start fighting over what? Stuff. The family starts fighting over stuff. They start fighting over the inheritance, the things that this person had and are now supposed to be distributed. They start fighting over. They start squabbling over. I know a family that they have not spoken in over 25 years after the death of a loved one because of the fighting over things. When you have a love for God, folks, listen, when you have a love for God, listen, here's what happens. Those things don't have any weight or value anymore. I'll be honest with you. I pulled my brother aside. I said, Bill, I said, look, when mom and dad pass, if nature takes its course and they pass before us, we're not fighting over their stuff. If you want all of it, it's yours. I just don't want to lose you as a brother. He said, okay, that's fine. That'll work for me. A generous person has a passion for God. Let me say this again. You can be generous and not have a love for God, but you cannot be a generous person and not have a love for God. What does a generous person look like? A generous person looks like somebody who's in love with God. That's plain and simple. So I ask you this morning, do you love God? Do you love Him? Do you really love Him? Or do you love your things? I mean, Jesus had encounters with people all through his 3-year ministry on this earth, and all kinds of things were asked of Him. A guy came to Him and he said, he was rich, he had a lot of money, and he said, Lord, what should I do to inherit life with You, to be right? The Lord said, You know what's taught in the scriptures. And this rich young guy, he knew the law, and he said, all this I've done, I've done everything that the scriptures have taught. And this is interesting because Jesus knows our hearts. And he said to the guy, he says, okay, then take everything that you have and give it away. Take everything that you have and give it away. And come follow me. If the Lord said to you, give away everything that is in your possession and come follow me, would you be the same as that young man? Because that young man walked away from a love relationship. He walked away from a God that loves him and was sad. Why? Because he loved his things more than he loved God. A generous person. Oh, they have a passion for God. Do you love God this morning? You know what wakes me up in the morning? God's love for me and my love for him. What motivates me throughout the day? God's love for me and my love for him. You say, well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to love God. Okay. Take away the title. I'll be the Defiance Garbage Man. But if I'm the Defiance Garbage Man, guess what? I still love my God. Why? Because he loves me. That sustains us. It should sustain us that the love of God, he loved me so much that he gave his son to die for me. Wow. Look, I have four children. And the reason that I have four children is I don't want five, okay? Real simple. I have plenty to spare. But I wouldn't give one of them. Not even Duncan. I wouldn't give any of my kids for anyone. I don't have that kind of love. So when I think of God's love for me and for you, it moves me. It transforms me as my relationship with God grows. Every single day of every day of life that God's given me, my relationship with God grows and my relationship with God becomes sweeter. My view of life changes and how I see people changes. Which leads me to the second thought. What does generosity look like? A generous person has perspective. A generous person has perspective. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that God didn't give to you? And if everything you have is from God, why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? With perspective here, three thoughts, three questions are being asked. Number one, who makes you unique? Number two, what do you have that hasn't been given to you from God? And then number three, why do you behave as if it hasn't been given to you from God? Perspective is real simple. A generous person understands that everything that is in their possession is not theirs. It doesn't belong to them. We use the word steward in church a lot, and a steward in simple, plain language is somebody that manages the property and the possessions of somebody else. A steward is responsible for the things of somebody else. And we just read, God says, everything that is in our possession belongs to him. Why do we act as if we haven't been given those things from God? It's my car. It's my house. It's my possession. When you have a heart for God, a passion for God, it changes your perspective. Stuff is just stuff. God forbid, but if my house caught fire today and we lost everything, but my family is alive, then guess what I've lost? Nothing. I've lost nothing. Perspective helps, folks. It would be like this. It'd be like if one of you said, hey, Pastor Ron, I'm going to let you use my truck. You can keep it. You can drive it. It's yours to use. But just remember, it's always mine. I would treat that truck a little differently than I would if I really thought that it was truly mine. My time, my possessions, they all belong to God. And if you are a generous person this morning, then you get this. If you're struggling with this, if this isn't really computing with you, then let me just be really frank with you, then you haven't arrived at this point of understanding what true generosity is. A generous person has passion. A generous person has perspective. Why do we behave as if everything that is in our possession isn't from God and doesn't belong to Him? Because we're like that little alligator arm guy. We've all been around that type of person. We've all been around that type of person who is very slow, if at all, to pull out that wallet. There's an episode in Seinfeld where George Costanza says, be honest with me. And Elaine says, well, in regards to money, you're careful? And he responds with, you think I'm cheap? You think I'm cheap? You think I'm cheap? It's interesting that the people who are cheap with money, the people who are stingy, don't see it that way. They don't see themselves as being stingy. They don't see themselves as hoarding. Now remember what I said. Make sure we are clear here. Generosity does not mean you're foolish with your money. It doesn't mean that you completely abandon all wisdom in regards to how you take care of things. But there is a far cry from being stingy and generous. There's a far cry from somebody that is hoarding and somebody that is looking to give away. A third thought in regards to generosity, what does a generous person look like? A generous person has power. John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. All right, now stay with me, folks, because this is where, to me, it gets really fun. Because, see, if you get this and you understand this, if you have a love for God and you understand the perspective that everything that is in your possession belongs to Him, then you get this, that there's a power that comes from that the life that God's called us to live, the abundant life. The abundant life isn't about getting things. The abundant life is about giving away. It's about giving away. One of the joys that Susie and I have had throughout ministry is to be able to help families that have need. When it comes to family that have need, that some have been so desperate, they didn't have food. And you know what was fun for us? Well, more fun for me. I mean, Susie and I both enjoyed it, but they had children. I would love to go shopping for the children, and I just load up with sugar cereals and Skittles and chocolate. And Susie's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm the good pastor. You're the bad pastor wife. She's putting in broccoli, which is the vile, nasty weed. Who eats that, right? But we load up all this food. And then discreetly, sometimes even anonymously, just leave it for people. Look, if you're with me on this, then you understand that there is this amazing joy that comes from giving. I don't even know how to word it. It's just fun. It's just so fun. It's just so fun. I mean, God's blessed you with something. And then you can, and see, when you get this, your perspective changes and you see people differently, and you see a person that has a need, whereas before you would have never noticed them. See, a cheapskate never looks for this, never sees this, never gets it, because they're always about themselves. They're always about what's good in it for me, what's in it for me. I'll do if it benefits me. But a giver, a generous person who has that love of God in them, they'll see somebody and they'll see that person through the lens of God. And then you know what we get to do? We get to go here. Generous person doesn't look for the thank you. They don't look for their name up in lights. All they're doing is going, I can't believe I get to do this. I get to be a blessing. A generous person is thoughtful and considerate and thankful. A generous person is genuinely interested in the needs of those around. Our purpose here at First Baptist Church: reach people, build believers, reflect Jesus. Listen, do you understand, as a person that is a giver, a generous person, you are reflecting, you're communicating the love of God to somebody. I don't know how to word it any better. It's just fun. It is just so fun. It's such a joy. You see, a miser, a cheapskate, a moocher, they're not thoughtful. They're not considerate. And what's funny is that person, they see themselves as kind. They see themselves as thoughtful. When I asked you in the beginning, are you a generous person? And you're going, yeah, I'm pretty generous. Look at yourself in the lens of God. Are you generous in the fact that you have a passion for God and that overrides everything else? Are you generous in understanding that perspective is that all that you have belongs to God? Look, when God says for you and for me to give back 10%, we balk at that. And we'll make excuses. God, I know this belongs to you, but you can't have it, even though you told me that I'm supposed to do this because I need it. I love this one. I'm not going to give to the church because, you know, they're dishonest and that pastor just wants money. That's all he wants. That's what he wants. He just wants money. That's not a generous person. Remember, we read in 1 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. A miser, a cheapskate, a skinflint, they'll look to get out of, in any way, shape, form, giving. And there are those that'll even, they'll go up to the line and they'll say, well, I did what I was supposed to do. I give. I give up to the point. A generous person gives beyond what God's asked in terms of our basic requirement. A generous person looks for opportunities. And I'm not just talking about money, folks. You know, it could be a time, it could be a gift, it could be a talent. There's so many things and so many ways that we can give. Look, I'm so thankful for you because a lot of you give and you serve and make this place great. And by the way, this is a great place. I don't know, maybe I just need to remind you of that. But this is a great church. Not perfect. We have issues? Sure we do. Like any church. But I can tell you this. Bless you. God's doing great things here. God's doing great things amongst us. And when we, as God's people, will literally, when we'll humble ourselves before Him and say, God, I'm not really a generous person, but I want to be. Wow. What a massive difference that makes in your life. You begin to experience, listen, that abundant life. The abundant life that we have in God is that relationship in Him and Him alone. Wow. Folks, that's just off the charts good. Jesus is calling us to live lives that are astonishingly generous. He's calling us to live lives that are astonishingly generous. Why? To demonstrate His love, to plant the seeds of gospel. Every act of generosity is a seed planted. and to experience the abundant life. Every time that you and I, in terms of generosity, do an act of generosity, it's a seed planted for the gospel. Are you a generous person this morning? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we come before you and we are absolutely humbled by the fact that you are the model of generosity and that you are so generous. All that you've given to me, I can't even fathom it. You've given me so much that if I started listening, I know I'd leave out so much. Thank you, Father, for giving to me. Could I ask you this, Father, just help me to be the same way. I want to be able to give because you give to me. I want to know the joy of giving. Please, God, don't let me be selfish with my time or my talent or my possessions of any sort that you've given to me. And I acknowledge before you, God, and all my brothers and sisters that everything I have, it isn't mine. It belongs to you. And I treasure and I cherish the fact that you love me. And I'm asking you, God, help me become a generous person by falling deeper in love with you. I want to be generous. If we could, Father, if all of us would fall deeper in love with you, that the generosity of you would flow through us to one another and to the world outside, what a difference we could make to reach people for you. God, save people through our testimony, through our actions. Let us reflect your love to one another. Help us to be generous, Father. Oh, please help us to be generous. With heads bowed and eyes closed, hey, I ask you this question. Are you generous? Between you and God and you and God alone, are you? Are you really generous? Or are you that undercover miser? Are you stingy? With nobody looking, listen, I'm not going to judge you. I just want to pray for you. Say, Pastor, pray for me. God is speaking to my heart right now. We'll leave it at that. Pray for me. God is speaking to my heart right now. Would you hold up that hand? I just want to pray for you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. We have some young people, some of our older folks. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? Say, God is just working in my heart right now. Let's do this then. Let's do this. Think about one person God's given to lay on your heart that you could be generous to this week. Do you have that name? If you do, hold up that hand and say, I've got that name to be generous to this week. There's one person that God's laid on my heart to be generous to. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Lots of folks. And listen, I want to invite you to do this. If God's speaking to you in your heart this morning, I want to invite you to come pray. If you've got that name, then I want you to do this. I want you to come and I want you to lift that name to the Father and say, God, give me opportunity. Give me opportunity to be generous to this particular person. If you have other needs, and listen, you want me to pray with you, I'm going to be down here at the front. If you're looking to join this church, absolutely, we want to have you become a part of this fellowship. We love you. If you have any other needs, we'd love to talk and pray with you. But we're going to stand in just a moment here, and I want to invite you to come. Please, church, come and respond and pray and say, God, do a work in me. Do a work in First Baptist Church. Help me to be a generous person, God. Would you stand with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, as we now go into this time of invitation, we commit it to you. And I pray people would, even right now, step out, come to the front and just bend a knee and say, God, help me to be a generous person. Or God, I have a name on my heart of a friend or a relative, a co-worker, and you've laid that person's name to me. You've given that person's name to me, and I want to be generous. So help me to do that. We love you, Father, and we're so privileged to talk to you. And we want to be generous like you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. As the praise team plays, man, I invite you to come right now all over the auditorium. Would you step out and come up here? and just say, God, do a work in me. God, pray. God, I'm praying for that person. Whoever that person is on your heart, you come right now as the praise team plays. Praise the Lord, man. We're so excited. Hey, before we continue on with our service, I want to introduce you to Dave and Jody Wren and Gabby. Come on up. Love these people. I was talking with Dave, and the funny thing was, is we were talking about some different things and aspects of the church, and Dave mentioned to me, he goes, well, before we go any further than that, we probably ought to join the church. I went, hey, there's a novel idea. All three of these folks have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they are coming today to become part of First Baptist Church. All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
And I don't care if you're opposed. You don't count. All right. Make sure you get by and welcome this family into the family of First Baptist Church. They've been with us forever. We love you guys, and man, it is awesome to have you guys as part of this family. We look forward to many, many a year of service with you guys, okay? Here, this is yours, okay? Love you guys. You can have a seat. Ushers, if you would, take your place, and we'll take our offering. Come on forward, guys. Father, as the ushers are coming forward, we just thank you for the privilege to give back to you what belongs to you. Thank you for the privilege to give, period. I want to be a cheerful giver, and I pray, Father, that it would be just that, a joy. Even today, use this offering to further the kingdom. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name.